You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, how is it going? As always, it's your boy, your host, Sosa Cremanges. I'm a fantasy analyst at PFF and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Before we dive into this episode, and it is going to be an interesting one, we haven't gotten around to a mailbag in a few weeks. I want to say this is only going to be our second on YouTube since we've launched. So, as you know, this is going to be a Mailbag Friday episode. You guys sent in a bunch of good questions, which we'll dive into. I just wanted to tell you guys that the Locked On NFL Draft podcast relaunches on September 20th with two new hosts. One, Eric Crocker of the Locked On 49ers podcast, a former NFL player. He's going to bring the player scouting. And Ryan Tracy of the Locked On Chiefs podcast brings the analytics. You guys can go follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. And as I mentioned, this episode is a mailbag episode. You guys shot over some really good questions to me. We're going to dive into all of that here in just a second. And I'm kind of excited in terms of what some of these questions are. You guys sent in a bunch of good ones. So we'll begin right from the top. And my guy Maury sent in a good one here to begin. It's in the DM. He basically asked, after week one of the 2020 season and after week one now this past week, what were your top three concerns then and now, and how are they compared to each other? And so it's kind of hard for me to remember exactly how I felt after that 2021 week one game. But thinking back, I would say probably the biggest concerns after that week one game for me were probably the edge rusher position, maybe off ball linebacker as well. Maury brought up a good point. He said the kicker position was definitely something that was a huge issue for the Rams. And I don't disagree at all. I mean, they did not get that solved until about halfway through the season when Matt Gay came around. And then the quarterback position, right? Jared Goff continued that regression, which never really came back. So there was a lot of questions about that team. And ultimately, they still found a way to be a productive football team. Now, going into this past week and this season, some of the questions that I have after week one, you know, I would say probably the running defense at first, not necessarily bad. I wouldn't say that they were terrible, but I think there is some areas for them to obviously tighten up there, get a little bit more sound in their tackling, and not just make contact on guys, but actually bring them down. They had a lot of shots to bring down Montgomery, David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears, of course, for much smaller gains than he ultimately gained by way of yak yardage and yardage after contact. So that's the first thing, is clean up that tackling as well as that run defense. And I'm not sure that there's many questions that remain for this team, to be quite honest with you. Not for me, at least. I mean, the offense looks great. Maybe the offensive line, I guess, could be a question. Are they going to be able to hold up and give Stafford the time he needs in the pocket? And can they create some of those running lanes? But I mean, outside of that, there's not really many questions for me, to be quite honest with you. I feel very good about where this team is at right now. I teased this question in the intro. This one's from Atwell Carella, my guy. He said, Tutu Atwell, Jacob Harris, Jake Funk. Which one of these rookies do you think will impact our offense first? And which do you think will impact our offense the most overall this season? And for the record, for those that are watching on YouTube, I'm looking off to the left here just to read these questions. So please excuse me. But that is a good question. I mean, I'm not really sure how much any of these guys are going to contribute. Had you asked me prior to week one, I maybe would have said Jacob Harris would have been the most likely to contribute out of these guys. But now when I look at it, I mean, he didn't play any snaps, which was a little bit weird to me. I thought this was a guy that they probably wanted to utilize relatively quickly into the season too. I might change my answer and go with Tutu Atwell now. I know he's probably not going to be a huge factor on offense, but I think at some point you're probably going to want this guy to run some of those jet sweeps, have some fun in that misdirection game, and then, of course, the special teams as well. But you did ask specifically about the offense. So I think most people would probably say Harris, and if you asked me a week ago, I probably would have said Harris too. But now when I look at it, I wouldn't be shocked if it's Atwell. I think it's going to be one of those two guys. The running back room looks pretty solid in terms of how they look. And Funk did not get any snaps, even though Sony Michel was a guy that didn't really get any snaps either. That was the Daryl Henderson show in week one. So not really sure if that's what the Rams plan to do throughout the rest of the season. Probably not. I think some of those backup running backs will get a few more snaps. But I'm going to go with Tutu Atwell. But at the end of the day, this is a complete guessing game for me. The Rams have a good offense. It's not likely that any of these guys play a big role, in my opinion. The next one is from my guy at DBrez6. He said, something I didn't really think about until now was the lack of Jacob Harris on Sunday. Do you think that's a product of not many red zone plays due to the big splash plays, or maybe just another training camp hero? I'm going to probably lean towards the former. the potential lack of red zone plays and opportunities there. Like you mentioned, you know, the Rams didn't really get to the red zone. They didn't have to. I want to say they maybe only took three snaps in the red zone, which ended obviously in a Robert Woods touchdown. So there wasn't really any huge reason to bring him out there. And, you know, when you look at some of these splash plays, that's kind of how they scored in this game. I don't think he's one of those training camp heroes. Maybe this season, the statistics won't be up to par to what people expected after a really strong preseason and training camp season there. But at the same time, I definitely think this guy is going to contribute at some point, maybe later down the road this season, maybe halfway throughout this season. Heck, maybe even next year. I'm not really sure, but I definitely think at some point this guy has the skill set that you want to utilize. And I've seen it on the tape, whether it was in college or in the preseason, he can separate. Like, this guy can make plays as long as he's on the field. How can he get on the field? We'll see. You know, the Rams have a lot of formational packages that they probably want to deploy this season with a lot of strength at receiver and running back and tight end. So it's going to be questionable how many snaps he gets, but I definitely think this is a guy that they want to utilize at some point this year. The next one is from at JJ from underscore NJ. He said, I know you talked about this a bit in the recap, but Terrell Burgess didn't get any snaps on Sunday. But according to Pro Football Reference, Nick Scott got 10 snaps and Burgess got zero. Do you think this is a Morris preference, meaning Raheem Morris, or did Scott show enough in 2020 to earn snaps over Burgess? And that is a great question. I'm not entirely sure what the answer is here, right? Like you mentioned, Nick Scott's a guy that's been with the team for a few seasons now. And, you know, you go back to last year, he was getting some snaps on the defense as well after the Terrell Burgess injuries and the Jordan Fuller injuries. Now, when it comes to this season, I'm not really sure what the pecking order is for that safety room. The good problem is they have four guys that are quality players at this position. So it's going to be hard to get all of them snaps. But at the end of the day, I'm not really sure how they want to divvy up these snaps. And if Terrell Burgess is third on the depth chart, maybe fourth on the depth chart, like you mentioned, behind a guy like Nick Scott, who's going to play a huge role on special teams every single week. But it's definitely interesting to see which one of these guys is first in that pecking order when defensive side of the ball. What's the answer here? I'm not really certain. I think Terrell Burgess will start to see a few more snaps as the weeks go by, maybe at the expense of Scott, maybe at the expense of somebody else. But this is a guy that the Rams drafted very high, and he's a talented player. I mean, even last year, he flashed a little bit. The preseason, he flashes a little bit again this season. This is clearly a guy that has some skills that he can bring to the table for you that you can utilize on the defensive side of the ball. So I think at some point, they definitely will utilize him. When will that be? I'm not sure, but I don't see this zero snap count on the defensive side of the ball lasting all too long for him. I just think he's such a quality player that you want to get him some snaps, whether that's in the nickel spot or somewhere in that safety rotation. Maybe that was just a formational thing that the Rams had going on in the first game against the Bears. Maybe that's how they wanted to play it. Not 100% sure, but that is a very good observation. It's definitely something to note, and we're going to keep looking at that for sure, keeping our eye on it going into the next week and in the future weeks here to see if Scott is the next up in that safety room and if he continues to get snaps, or if that's going to go towards Terrell Burgess, a fan favorite, who a lot of people think is going to be one of the breakout players this season. In just a second here, we're going to dive into the remaining questions. And of course, you guys can always come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP and at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube at Locked On Rams as well. Wanted to tell you guys about one of our sponsors here, Built Bar. You guys have heard me talk about them many times on this podcast. They are by far the best protein bars on the market for my money. I mean, they have so many different flavors. You can honestly choose whichever ones you like, which is great because they have a huge variety. You can make the package and the box however you prefer in terms of the flavors and all these different things. So you can have a lot of choice in terms of what you want. Not only that, the bars are also healthy. They're delicious. They're low in sugars. They're low in calories. They have 19 grams of protein per bar. They're high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on the keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do, just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now let's continue on with these questions here. We'll pick up right where we left off. The next one is from CJ at CJ Has Live Sports. He said, can we please talk about Jalen Ramsey changing helmets? Threw me for a loop. I didn't even notice, to be quite honest with you. That's a good observation. Again, didn't even notice. So I'm not 100% sure which helmet he had before, which one he's wearing now. That's not really something I typically look at. I guess I'm so preoccupied with trying to take in everything that's happening in the game. So I didn't see it. I don't know if he looks swaggy. I don't know if he looks silly. But man, he looked good out there. I was looking more so at number five. My eyes were kind of mesmerized, still trying to catch up with this number change thing. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to it, to be quite honest with you. Seeing two starting cornerbacks, one of them wearing number 11 and one of them wearing number five, is just putting me in an absolute daze. It's got me messed up. So that's kind of where my eyes were when the defense was out there. The next one's from Johnny at RamsFan2800. He said, I listened to Jordan and the 11 personnel pod, and she spoke about the Rams were inviting the Bears to run in week one. So do you feel the Rams run D will be okay and we shouldn't be worried about the run defense? And I talked about this on the podcast as well here. It was a clear formational thing, in my opinion, right? You can pretty much choose how you want to play defense. And typically the most simple way to describe it is you can either line up with two high safeties, which is primarily what you want to do against the pass, or one high safety with a safety rotated down into the box when you want to play the run. That's how you're going to have the numbers advantage in the box to stop the run. And the Rams have been a team, at least since Brandon Staley came last year, and now that we've seen through week one with Raheem Morris, a team that's been a lot of two high shells. So cover two, cover four, cover six, that kind of thing, where they want two safeties back there because they want to prioritize pass coverage over run defense. And that continued into week one. Now, I don't think that's going to change much moving forward unless the Rams play a team that just cannot throw the ball whatsoever and is amazing at running the football. But this just feels like a schematic thing that the Rams want to prioritize that they did last year. And I would say that it worked out pretty damn well and that they look like they're going to do again this year. And in my opinion, you can't really complain about it because it's kind of a give or take here, right? It's hard to stop the run and to stop the pass. Like, you have to be a special defense to just completely wash out offenses. But which part of the game do you want to stop more? Is it going to be the explosive passing game and the passing offenses that the league has today? Or do you want to stop those 4 or 5 yard runs? Which one should you prioritize? In my opinion, it's always going to be the pass game. So I would happily let a guy like David Montgomery have a 100 yard game in terms of the rushing yardage to not allow Andy Dalton to throw for more than 5 yards per attempt. That is a win that I'll take every single time. So I tend to think that, yeah, the statistics or the box score stats may not look great for the run defense, but I do think they can get better from that week one performance. Like I mentioned, they made a lot of contact on Montgomery, whether it was, you know, at the line of scrimmage or after a 2 yard gain or behind the line of scrimmage. They just had a lot of trouble bringing him down. And I'm not really sure if that was just, you know, shoddy tackling or if he's just a really tough player to bring down, which he is, a very tough runner. That part of the game, I think they can improve on going in to next week and throughout the future weeks. But in terms of the schematics, I don't think much is going to change, to be honest with you. They're never going to be a team that's going to load up there in the box and just try to stop the run every single play. That's not how they play. I don't think that that's how they should play. And so maybe they're going to be a little bit more susceptible to the run this season, but I definitely think they have a lot more in them in terms of that ceiling than they showed in week one. The next one here is from at KevRock77. He said, when it comes to the run game, are you more concerned about the backs or the line? And to me, it's always the offensive line. I mean, running backs, yeah, they're great. And, you know, you can take a really good running back and might take a running game from good to great, you know, or might take a running back that might not be able to take it to the house, separate himself from someone that might have a 25-yard gain to a 60-yard touchdown. But it's always the line, right? These guys are going to be the reason your running game is either going to have success or not when it comes to running the football. So for me, it's the offensive line. But at the end of the day, I'm not necessarily concerned about the Rams running game in general. I think right now they look okay. You know, they flashed in that fourth quarter. They looked dominant, to be quite honest with you, running the ball in that fourth quarter. The first three quarters, not so much, but they really didn't get many plays on offense. So it was really hard for them to kind of get in a rhythm there and get the actual ability to call a few running plays and plays in general. So I'm going to chalk that one up as just a weird experience. We'll see how it goes this week. But in general, for me, it's always going to come back to the offensive line. The next one is from at Richard_8_Hines. He said, Tyler Higbee played every snap on offense week one. Will we see more of the other tight ends get involved more than blocking in the passing game in the up and coming weeks? And that is a really good question. And it kind of ties back into one of those questions we already answered with the Jacob Harris thing. And it's tough to say, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, the Rams invested in this position for a reason, whether that's Jacob Harris in the fourth round, Bryson Hopkins being drafted in the fourth round a year ago, or Johnny Munt bringing him back too. I think they will be utilized more often because I don't think we can expect, you know, 50 or 60 yard touchdowns every single game, especially multiple touchdowns of that nature. It's probably not going to happen. I hope it does, but it's not likely. So at some point, you're probably going to want to bring in some different personnel packages. And not only that, but you might like your matchups against a different defense with, you know, different personnel on offense. So maybe that's just the way the Rams wanted to play that week one matchup. But at the same time, like I just mentioned a few minutes ago, they never really had the ball on offense for a long time. I mean, there might have been, you know, off the top of my head, two or three drives where they had the ball for, you know, six, seven, nine, 10 plays. It did not happen often. I mean, the Rams ran the second fewest offensive plays in week one. And while that can typically be a bad thing, it's not when you're scoring 50 or 60 yard touchdowns. So it's kind of a give or take. You know, you don't really get a good look at the offense, but at the same time, I don't think anyone really cares when you're scoring those kind of touchdowns. So it's probably not going to happen every week. And I think at some point when that does slow down, might be this week, we'll start to see a little bit more of those packages come in. And we might see a few of those backup tight ends come in on the field more often, more so than just blocking. Like you mentioned, Jacob Harris, a guy that I'm definitely looking at that I have circled. He's the clear-cut guy that has the ability to make a receiving contribution past Tyler Higbee. So that's the guy I'm looking at. But at the end of the day, I don't know when that might be. It might be this week. It might not be for 4 weeks. But I definitely think at some point in time, the Rams may transition into a little bit different of a package than they showed in week one. The next question is from my guy, Todd. He loves these, at Tiger_Todd1. He said, who's the swaggiest kicker of all time after the god, Samuel Sloman? I hope Samuel Sloman does not listen to this podcast, because I've just joked around and sort of slandered his picture on Twitter one too many times. That guy's family might honestly hate me at this point. He might hate me. I mean, he was just so bad with the Rams. It's just kind of an inside joke and just me being silly. In terms of the swaggiest kicker, that is tough. I'm going to go with Jeff Wilkins, man. Jeff Wilkins is the best. Classic all-time Rams legend. Anyone that's been a Rams fan for, you know, upwards of two decades now knows who Jeff Wilkins is. He had that nasty goater, which, you know, is a goatee. I guess it's a silly way of saying goatee, at least here in Canada is. And the guy was a legend. I mean, number 14 was so iconic. Every time I think of number 14, I think of Jeff Wilkins immediately. So I'll go with Wilkins, but kickers, man, kickers can't be swaggy in general. We don't show too much love for kickers around here. So unless you're Matt Gay, you know, you're banging them through the uprights consistently, you will get a lot of love on this podcast and in general. But man, kickers more often than not are going to break your heart than they will, you know, give you a lot of things to cheer for, unless you're Greg Zuerlein, which the guy's a legend. I mean, the guy's a hero for what he did with the Rams for however many years he was with the team. But that's going to do it for this segment as well. We're going to dive into the remaining questions here in just a second. I wanted to tell you guys that make sure to check in here at the Locked On Rams podcast next week. We're going to give you this game recap of week two between the Rams and the Colts. Tell you everything you need to know about who performed, who didn't do so well, why the game unfolded the way it did, who won, who didn't. Everything you need to know about that game is going to be in next week's recap. And then, of course, we'll dive into the future game, week three, Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But before we get there, you guys know that I like to bet, and I'm sure some of you guys do too as well. And if you need somewhere to do it, go check out betonline.ag. They are one of our sponsors for today's episode. With football back, you know all of our eyes are back on the gridiron. It is the number one sport. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. You can get all the latest updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the $200,000 Survivor Contest, which are both open now at BetOnline. All you have to do is just go to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure to take advantage, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to take advantage of all your favorite sports, from basketball to football to boxing to horse racing. Don't wait. Make sure to get in on it. The action is still here, and the great offers are available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And if you guys need a little bit of help when it comes to betting, you can always check out the Locked On Bets podcast, which is hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, two of our hosts on the Locked On Podcast Network. They're going to give you guys everything you need to know, from their favorite picks of the week, maybe games that you should avoid, some lines to look at, overs, unders, player props, everything you can imagine. Lee Sterling's lock of the day and everything in between. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Now we'll get into these final few questions here. And the next one is from at @ESPN_Rams_takes. He said, how do you feel about the new offense? I see the same concepts, but different types of looks. Do you think what we ran in game one is how it will be ran all year, or will Sean have different folds? And that is another really good question. You guys are hitting me, man, from from the left, from the right, Mike Tyson. I don't even know what's going on right now. Great question, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. But I think at the end of the day, what we saw in week one was nothing really too special. I mean, it felt like we've seen these concepts a lot. There was a lot of flood concepts like they typically run, you know, from under center, play action where you have the quarterback bootlegging to the side, flood concept meaning three guys all running to the same direction of the field in different levels to give that quarterback a high to low read, which, you know, we saw some completions like that. The only difference I think really that we saw in this game was Matthew Stafford was willing to push it deep. And I think that's the major talking point here is the offense didn't look that different per se in the passing game, at least not from what I've seen. But in terms of the running game, they definitely did look different because the Rams have never ran out of shotgun like they did in week one. And that might just be because Jared Goff was not in the shotgun that much. And the Rams typically like to run, you know, outside zone and zone-based running games. Whereas now they're really transitioning into this gap scheme or power or man concept type of running game where you've seen a lot of those runs that Darrell Henderson had that were productive in the fourth quarter come out of shotgun and with guys pulling, for example, guards and centers. So it's a little bit different of a look when it comes to the running game. And I think this offense is just really going to continue to expand and have different folds, like you said, going forward, because Matthew Stafford can do everything on a football field. Like there is no limitations here for this offense now. And you have weapons of all different varieties from, you know, great route runners to guys that are vertical threats, some that are speedy. You got different types of running backs, different types of tight ends. There is literally nothing that the Rams cannot run this season. And I genuinely think that Sean McVay spent the entire offseason coming up with all kinds of different formations and plays. And I definitely think we're going to start to see that moving forward in this season. The next one is from @_Scoot. He said, score prediction for the Colts game. I shared it on yesterday's podcast, but for those that maybe missed it or didn't listen, I said the Rams would win 31-28. You know, I don't really know 100% what's going to happen. The Rams are first going to a different kind of environment. Obviously, they're traveling to Indianapolis, another different kind of opponent that they don't really have much familiarity with. The Rams do not play the Colts often. The last time they played was in 2017, week one. And, you know, a new quarterback. So this offense is going to be different, just like it is for the Rams too. So a lot of question marks there. I still tend to think that the Rams are just the better team straight up. So I'm going to pick the Rams. I don't know if they're going to cover that 3.5 betting line. It's maybe a little bit too rich for me, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if they win by 10. I definitely think the Rams should win this game. I think they will win this game. And I think at the end of this game, we're going to be talking about another positive game recap with the Rams sitting at 2-0. The next one is from @JB_Peoples. He said, on a scale of 1 to, oh my God, we finally have a QB. How hyped were you for that first Stafford touchdown and what did you do? And anyone that was following along on Twitter, I honestly lost my mind. I couldn't believe it. As soon as I seen him rolling out to the left there and start to square up his shoulders and really like cock back his arm like he was about to let a cannon go, I was like, oh Lord, I don't know where he's going with this one, but it looks like it's about to be a deep shot. And you know how the TV camera doesn't show everything. It's still got to get caught up. I see Van Jefferson running wide open, catches the ball, falls, gets up, gets in the end zone. I lost my mind. I mean, I went off on Twitter. I couldn't believe it. It was literally the perfect way to usher in the Matthew Stafford era for the Rams. The guy's a deep shot artist, and that is the way they score their first touchdown. That is their first completion in the passing game. It does not get better than that. I loved every second of it. I promise you that is something that I will never forget over the course of my lifetime. So yeah, I was hyped and that was just the perfect way to start that game. The next one's from @CadenSevers5. With the Rams clearing up more cap space just recently with Hecker, do you expect any moves to be made, extend Darius Williams? You know, I don't think anything's going to happen just yet. I think the Rams feel good with their roster. In terms of extending Darius Williams, never really feels like the Rams like to do too much business when it comes to the middle of the season, or at least not early in the season. I think that's probably something better suited for, you know, maybe week 8 or week 10, week 12, that kind of thing, when you have a lot more of a sample size to see how he's going to perform this season, not just last season. So I don't expect any different changes here. I think the Rams just wanted to have a few dollars in their back pocket just in case, you know, they suffer an injury somewhere or they need a backup somewhere or even a starter at some position. It's always good to have a few dollars laying around just in case you need to go sign a free agent by way of injury or whatever else might occur in the NFL season. The second to last question here, @BobinoLost, he said, could the Cardinals finally beat McVay after what they showed on Sunday? Did Kyler get snubbed for player of the week? That is a good question. you know, I think they could win. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that this team is a quality team. Of course, it's just 1 week. I don't think we should overreact. So we're going to see how the Cardinals do week two, week three. And I want to say they play the Rams maybe week four or week five, week four, five, or six. So that game is coming up pretty quick here. And then we can have a better idea of what this opponent really is. But I genuinely think that, yeah, they do have a shot to beat McVay. I'm still going to pick the Rams, you know, until they prove me otherwise, but definitely wouldn't count these guys out. And in terms of the snub, you know, I think it's probably fair to say that he got snubbed. Of course, Matthew Stafford has the whole, you know, I'm in LA now, I'm in star, I played on Sunday Night Football, this is a new team. So that's why he won. I mean, he had an incredible performance too, but that's the point, right? That's why you want to play in LA. That's why you want to be exposed to national media on Sunday Night Football. And that's why awards are skewed towards guys like this, because, you know, they have these exposures that some other guys, like, for example, Kyler Murray, might not. He's playing at 1 p.m. in Arizona. It's not exactly the same situation. So, I mean, you look at the guy, he had five touchdowns and it was incredible. Some of the highlights he put on film, that is the kind of stuff that is worthy of a Player of the Week award for sure. So I guess you could say he got snubbed, but for me, at the end of the day, I think Stafford deserved it too. I mean, you're talking about a new guy in a new city, a new team, first game, and just that lasting impression and memory of how he started and how they scored is just different. So I wish that they both could have won. You know, that would have been very fair. And I think if you're a Cardinals fan, you're probably saying that Murray got snubbed. And if you're a Rams fan, you're saying that Stafford deserved it. So it's kind of one of those things there where I'm going to side with Stafford. But I do think that Murray, you know, in any regular week probably would have been considered a huge snub. Now we're on to the final question here. At Rand with a came, he said, how nervous are you about the defense being able to contain Jonathan Taylor in this game, which is a really good question. Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in football. Of course, he was a rookie last year, going into his second season now. Same draft class as Cam Akers, drafted a little bit before Akers, formerly of Stanford. Dude, this guy is strong as hell. I mean, he is talented. He is a great player. There is no doubt in my mind, this guy is one of the best running backs in football. When it comes to the Rams' run defense, I'm just not that concerned. You know, I think it could be more of the same like we saw in week one, because Taylor is sort of similar to Montgomery in terms of, you know, bigger body guy, stature is big, strong, really strong legs, really hard to tackle on first contact. But that's not the part of the game that worries me. I mean, I'm concerned about, is this passing game going to be a problem? You know, what can we expect out of Carson Wentz? So that's where more of my concern shifts to, always going to prioritize the passing game. I think, you know, when we look at the box score, Taylor, I would be shocked if he doesn't have 100 yards rushing. He might have a very good fantasy football day, or, you know, just a good day in general. But at the end of the day, I think the Rams are going to be prepared for this guy. I don't think they're going to miss as many tackles as they did in the first week, but that remains to be seen, of course. So we'll see how prepared they come. I think these guys are going to be ready, though. They're usually up for the challenge. And when they play physical players, you see guys like Kenny Young and Jalen Ramsey and these types of players, get ready, man. These guys love the physicality. They're not nervous. They're not going to back down from nobody. So, you know, I think the Colts will have a pretty good rushing game when you look at the box score stats or the yards per carry or yards per attempt type of stuff. But when it comes to the actual scoreboard, I don't think it's going to have that big of an impact. So I think the Rams know what they want to do on the defensive side of the ball, unfortunately for the Colts. And right now, I think the Rams have a huge advantage when it comes to the quarterback position. So that's going to do it for this episode. I always appreciate you guys for shooting over these questions to me. They're so good. And you guys make me legitimately think, start to do some research for some of these questions here for sure. So I appreciate that as always. Make sure to check back in here at the Locked On Rams podcast next week. We're going to cover this game in detail, give you everything you need to know about the game recap, who stood out, who didn't, what happened in this game, why the Rams maybe won or lost. We'll get into all of that. And of course, just a reminder, you guys can connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP and at Locked On Rams. And make sure to go also check us out on YouTube at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.